You know, Paul in Thessalonians spoke of walking worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. How many of you really believe that God has called us unto his kingdom and glory? Paul spoke on one occasion, he said, "Ye are my glory and my joy." I was telling some of the brethren today that we've come to a place to where we need to understand something about glory. The Bible says also that God has called us unto holiness. And I know the word holiness, you know, it has been misconstrued in such a way till it's almost unreal. But still, it's the beautiful, beautiful things concerning holiness that's going to bring us into that place that God wants us to be in as to receive of his glory. I'd like to just make mention of one or two things. A lot of questions are asked. A lot of people have things on their mind. And we've tried in talking to the brothers at different times and preaching a little here. We've tried to indoctrinate you to where you could understand. I don't know just exactly how you are, but I have to understand something. I'm the type of person that I can't just go on in life and not understand. I just have to understand. And so then I bring things up to you a lot of times as to stir up your mind and to see if you understand. I'd like to ask the question tonight. You know, the terms is used rapture, which of course, rapture means caught away. It's not a biblical term, but it is an application that's used frequently concerning the Bible and concerning the catching away of the saints of God. But I'd love to ask the question as to, let's say in terms that you would be familiar with because you've been taught that, is there such a thing as the rapture? That is the catching away. Is there really? Sometimes I'm asked questions like this, you know. Is there really such a thing? There really is. There really is a catching away. As I say, the word rapture as applied to it is something that intellectually has been given. But the biblical terms is that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. Caught up together to meet him in the air. There is such a thing. A lot of times, there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. And I'm just going to take two or three scriptures tonight and just kind of tie them together to try to clarify some things that I was asked earlier. I talked to the brethren quite a bit up in Bill's office there, and I just want to clarify a few things that I was asked and a few things that seem to be troubling some of you a lot of times. Now, I was asked the question, is there going to be anybody here after the saints of God are gone? Is there going to be any saints left here? Any Christians left here? Or will anybody be saved during the tribulation period? The only way I know to answer questions when I'm asked is to go to the Bible, and whatever the Bible says, well, that's what it is. And I'm asked the question, will there be anybody here? Or there is a difference between people, like the people of the Congregational Holiness Church, which was established by a brother Sarris, a very wonderful, great man. I met him personally. Even after he established the church, he himself pulled away from it and went non-denominational. But in that church, as far as I know, they did and still do teach that the church will go through the tribulation period. There's not a rapture, a catching away. On the other hand, they that are in the church of God, as to the church of God of the elders, they teach that there will be a catching away. So one says one thing and one says another. And to say the least, it's very baffling so far as reading the Bible unless you have the Spirit of God to quicken it to you. It's very baffling. You just can't understand the Bible. You can read it all you want to as to a natural mind, and the more you read, the more confused you'll get. You'll get the feeling like you understand it, and then after a while, it'll get so scrambled up in your mind, you'll think, dear God, there ain't no way to understand it. But it is a true fact that, as I said before, if you study with Christ in mind, your motives right, let the great Spirit of God come into your heart, then He will make you to understand it. The Bible said, and the righteous shall understand. So it's very evident that the way you're going to understand the Bible is to have Christ. Because if the righteous understand, then those are the people that have Christ. But the Bible said the wicked will not understand. So it's evident that no matter how many schools and colleges that they have, church operations or whatever, they're still not going to understand. They can study and study, but they're not going to understand. They will never understand the Bible. All right, so then the question arises, is there anybody that's going to be left here to go through the tribulation period, or is the church going through the tribulation period, or is there such thing as a catching away or rapture? All right, let's just take a scripture too and look at it and just kind of study a little bit along. We come to church to kind of study, to grow in the grace of God and to grow in the knowledge of God. If you're not growing in the knowledge of God, you're not doing any good. Now, I go out on the field and I preach. I preach evangelistic most of the time because I'm out there to win souls. I come here and I get evangelistic sometimes, but I come here to teach you. One of the most beautiful things there is in God is to be able to teach the gospel. Jesus was a teacher. And Paul said, I'm a teacher. And the Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them. So, I asked the question, will there be anybody here? All right, let's look at it for just a minute. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go over to Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, what does it say? Revelation 4, the church ages ends. Revelation 3, Revelation 4, doors is open. A door is open in heaven. Now, I want you to notice this now. After that, the 144,000 is sealed. It said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now, it says here concerning these, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now there's a key right there in something that I said. And that key is, it said, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. Now according to the Bible, this would have to be beyond the millennium. You say, Brother Pike, why would you say it is beyond the millennium? Because the Bible said, and they have no need for the sun. In that city, in that world, they have no need for the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. So there won't be any sun heat on these people. The reason is because there won't be any sun to have sun heat. It will be the light of the Lamb. So it makes it very evident as to what God is speaking of and as to where these people are positioned in the mind of God and where this group of people is at. I'm saying this to position these people in your mind as to where, as so as you might determine where these people are located. See, who are these people, the elder said. One of the elders said, and who are these people? The answer was, well, there's one thing about it you know. And he said, these are people that have come out of great tribulation, and they are people from every nation, every kindred, a people of every tongue. The Germans, the Japanese, the black, the white, the yellow, the red, people in Europe, people in Israel, people in America, wherever, people in the islands. He said, these people have been taken from people out of all parts of the world. And he said, out of every nation, every language comes these people. And these people belong to God, and they are before His throne. They're without fault before God. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. Now, I want you to notice this. It says, out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. When was these people seen? They were seen after Revelation 6. What happened in Revelation 6? And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the Bible said, and the great day of His wrath is come. For it is the Lamb that's sitting on the throne. And they were running from the face of Him that sit upon the throne. So where are these people positioned in the mind of God? It is evident that after the coming of the Lord in the heavens, these people are seen then in heaven. So then who are we to accept these people to be? It has to be the church. Who else could it be? The 144,000 has been sealed in the earth to go through the tribulation period. It is very evident that the tribulation period is now at hand. The beginning of the first week of Daniel is now at hand. You say, what makes you think, Brother Pike, that this is the beginning of the first week of Daniel? Because he's sealing 144,000. And Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Isn't it evident that he's receiving the Jews? If he's receiving the Jews and sealing the Jews, doesn't that mean the resurrection? For the Bible said, and it will be the resurrection of the dead. All right, let's read it right here in Thessalonians and see. Isn't it the Thessalonian change? It says here in Thessalonians, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, now that's just what I read to you. Revelation 6, it's the coming of the Lord. In Revelation 7, he seals the Jews. The receiving of the Jews, the seal of the Jews, what does it mean? The resurrection of the dead, the coming of the Lord, which means the end of the days of the Gentiles or the catching away of the church. So then Thessalonians is speaking of this. This great multitude therefore must be them that have come out of great tribulation, as the Bible says, that has made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. That this is the church, and this is the catching up of the church. So then it's evident that that is who these are. Now, if that is true, then that means there must be a rapture. There must be a translation. Because these are before the throne of God to serve Him all the time. To be led wherever the Lamb is. This is certainly not the Jews. Because you don't read about the Jews until the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. And in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, it emphatically states that these are with Christ, the Jews, the 144,000, them that have been sealed in the 7th chapter where the multitude is caught up. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Now, isn't that the same thing it says in Revelation 7? It said, he saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So it's the same 144,000. So then that 144,000 is seen on Mount Zion in Revelation 14, which makes it evident that they're not the great multitude, that the great multitude in heaven is altogether a different people. They're already before the throne. Now then, the thought is, now if there is a rapture, is there anybody left, Brother Pike, after that the saints are caught away that will go through the tribulation? I've been asked this so many times. All right, let's check it out and see. Going by the scripture, Revelation 13, what does it say? In Revelation 13, it teaches that the beast comes up out of the waters just before the 144,000 is caught away. The beast comes up out of the waters, Revelation 13. What does it say concerning this? It said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. This is why I don't understand why somebody is always coming up with the wild notion that some preacher is the Antichrist. This man isn't going to be a preacher. This man isn't going to be preaching and saying good things about God and about people. It says he blasphemes the name of God, and he blasphemes the tabernacle of God. Why do you go around with such foolishness? You know, letting the devil throw you off and hinder you from moving on into the things of God. This man is a blasphemer. It said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So then, when you think of the beast continuing 42 months, where is this found? I went to a lot of problem to try to bring out the days of Daniel and to bring out the things of Daniel as to the abomination that maketh desolate, so that you could differentiate between the first part of the week of Daniel and the last part of the week of Daniel. I went to great extent to explain how that the latter part was the times, time and a half of time, and how that Daniel spoke of the Antichrist coming in at that time. It's very evident that's true, because here is your 3.5 years. He can continue 42 months. This means that this would have to be in the last part of the week of Daniel. It could not be the first part, because Antichrist doesn't come on, Daniel says, doesn't come on the scene until the times, time and a half of time. And this is the latter part of the week, for the Bible says that this is the Antichrist. It doesn't say he's going to continue a full week. It said for 42 months. It's evident that he's going to continue half of the week. And the half of the week is going to be the latter part of the week. And it's evident that this is the latter part of the week, because he is coming on the scene with his 42 months of regime. Now you say, well, why are you stressing that, Brother Pike? I want to stress that for this reason. We want to find out if there is going to be any people that will go through the tribulation period. In the first part of the week, I brought it out to you, there's the 144,000 being sealed right at the first part of the week. There's the great multitude being caught up into heaven at the first part of the week. What is the first part of the week? Revelation 3, the church age is in. Revelation 4, and the door is open in heaven. John goes up and sees the multitude. Revelation 6, the appearing of the Lord Jesus in the heavens, and Revelation 7, 144,000 sealed to pass through the entirety of the tribulation until they get over past the middle of the week to appear in Revelation 14, standing on the Mount Zion, having been sealed in their foreheads in Revelation 7. They pass through the tribulation of the sounding of the trumpets, and they come out sealed in their foreheads, unharmed, standing with Jesus on the Mount Zion, 144,000 of them. So then, what is this? 42 months. 42 months he shall continue. So now this makes us know that something is taking place. Listen at it now. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Listen now. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Are you listening now? Listen to it now. If you want to understand and grow in the knowledge of God, listen to it. And he was to continue 42 months, and he had power to overcome the saints. He had power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Are you listening to it? You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I'm trying to say that if at this point he has power to overcome the saints, there must be some saints there. There must be some more people there. This is over in Revelation 13. I said in Revelation 7, the great multitude had already gone into heaven. And here these are, it says that this beast that's been cast out in Revelation 12 and come up out of the waters in Revelation 13, here he is over here having 42 months as to the last part of Daniel's week, and the Bible said he's making war with the saints. How is he making war with the saints if the saints already gone to heaven? Are you listening to me? How is he making war with the saints in Revelation 13, which is the latter part of the week, when in the first part of the week, at the very beginning of the week, the saints of God are already gone to heaven? The great multitude. Where did the great multitude come from? I read it to you. It said, and they come up out of great tribulation. They come up out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes white, and the Bible said they come from every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. Notice this now. It has to be the latter part of the week. It has to be the tribulation period. It has to be times, time, and half a time. It has to be the 42 months. Because Antichrist is on the scene. And at the time that he's on the scene, he's making war with the saints. So that means they have to be in the 42 months. It means they have to be past the first of the week. It means that they're not there, that these are not there when the first of the week, at the first of the week, when at the first of the week, that the 144,000 is sealed. Now you say, how do you get that, Brother Pike? And you might figure it out another way in your mind, but I want you to listen at me. How could they be there at the first part of the week, go up into heaven, and the 144,000 be sealed? The 144,000 was sealed so that Antichrist couldn't hurt them. The 144,000 was sealed so that they could go through the trumpets, which already sounded. And here we are in the latter part of the week. How then could it be the same? See, it's got to be different. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but it's got to be different. See, in this part, it said that, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. In Revelation 7, it doesn't say that it was given to Antichrist to overcome them people. There's never been a time in the history of the world where Satan ever had power to overcome the church. Never. He never will have. How can that fit together with the scripture where the Bible said, and behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? How can God give me power over all the powers of the enemy and then turn around and give the enemy power over me? His kingdom would be divided. And Jesus himself witnessed that a divided kingdom could not stand. So then it's very evident that something is going on that perhaps some people don't understand. And I as one, had it not been for the goodness of the Lord. So then, who is this? The Bible said it's saints. Read it. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And power was given him over all kindreds, all tongues, all nations. And the Bible said, whosoever throughout the entire world that did not worship him was put to death. They were killed. It's recorded in the Bible that every person that would not worship him or conform to what he wanted, the Bible said he's going to put them to death. And they're not going to be able to buy, that is, the people will not be able to buy nor sell unless they take the mark in their hand or in their foreheads. So then the Jews were sealed in their foreheads with the name of the Lord at the going out of the Gentile church. They were sealed that they may not receive the mark in their head. So 42 months, he's going to blaspheme, he's going to rage, go about like a roaring lion because he knows he hath but a short time. And it says here, he's going to make war with the saints. Them are saints. He's going to make war with the saints. Now listen to this. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now, right there, that's a shocking thing. If we say that all that dwell upon the earth is going to worship him, then we right readily would say, well, it's for sure that ain't nobody going to be saved through the tribulation period. If all on the earth is going to worship him, and he's going to have power over all of the kindreds and nations and tongues, then it's for sure that nobody's going to be saved. But see, if that is what the writer is saying, if that is what God is meaning, then what about the 144,000? They don't worship him. And they go through the tribulation. They don't worship him. What about the woman that bore the child? The child didn't worship him. It was caught up into heaven. What about the woman that went away in the wilderness? She doesn't worship him. See, so it's very evident that what God is saying, He expresses it as he goes a little farther. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the ones that's going to worship. The ones who have never had their names written down in the Lamb's book of life. Now, what does that mean, Brother Pike, as to these people that's recorded in Revelation 13 as being saints, the ones with whom he makes war? It's very evident that they are the saints of God. They must be the predestinated of God. They must be the elect of God. He hath power over them, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And then the Bible goes on to say that everyone that would not take the mark, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. I said the other night, the beast is a man. All right, now, let's look at it again. So then there is going to be people during the tribulation period that are going to be righteous people. Are you listening to me now? So then you don't have to ask that anymore, do you? You don't have to wonder about that anymore. You don't have to listen to anybody say, well, that's not true. Because you know now that there positively is going to be religious people during the tribulation period. All right, during the tribulation period, there's definitely going to be religious people. Who are the religious people? They're saints. Now then you definitely know that there will be saints during the tribulation. Somebody says, well, bless God, I think all the saints are going to be raptured out, Brother Pike. And all these people preaching about saints going through the tribulation, there isn't going to be any such thing. But now you know. See, now you positively know that there's going to be saints in the tribulation period. It's not a matter of Brother Pike telling you that, or some other preacher telling you that, or you're trying to figure it out or see if Brother Pike's wrong or if they're wrong and not knowing. But you positively know now that there will be saints in the tribulation period. If you do know, raise your hand. You definitely know. No more question about it. Now, so will there be any going through the tribulation period? Absolutely. There will be. Brother Pike, we're showing up confused. Somebody would say, you know. I know. That's what I said. If you try to figure it out, you'd go start raving crazy. So then it has to be revealed to you. Isn't that right? It must be revealed to you. So we know now that there's going to be saints in the tribulation period. And we know this, that Antichrist is going to have power to overcome them. Listen now. Somebody says, bless God, I won't take that mark. I won't do this. I won't do that. It said, and he will have power to overcome them. And if they don't take the mark, he can kill them. And he will kill them. And somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, God's not talking about him killing the saints. He's talking about all them other people. No, he's going to kill all them other people. He's going to keep all them other people. Only the ones that oppose him. Only the ones that doesn't take the mark. That's the ones he's going to kill. Say, you mean that he's going to kill the saints? All right, let's listen at it. Here is the patience of the saints. This is Revelation 14. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. See, the saints of God. He's going to kill them. That's why it speaks of the white cloud. Just immediately following that statement. And I looked and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That's why I said the other night, this is the cutting down of the vine. The next one cries out to cut down the vine, for the grapes are fully ripe. Notice it now. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even of the horse bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So then, what is this about the patience of the saints and dying in the Spirit? Why is he thrusting in the sickle? It indicates that Antichrist is fixing to massacre. He's fixing to kill. He's fixing to spill the blood. And God, in that he said, can evil come to a city and I have not seen it? In that God said, I kill and make alive. So it gives it as God thrusting in the sickle. And so then these people are killed. And then following this, then God gets upset and he casts in the sharp sickle. He cuts down the vine and the wicked. What does he do? He cuts them down here. And then the Bible said they were gathered into the winepress of Almighty God. And you read it over here a little farther in the pouring out of these vials, that the three unclean spirits, like frogs that went out of the mouth of the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast, these three unclean spirits went into all the earth, gathering together all those people to come to the battle of God Almighty in the valley of Armageddon. That is the cutting down of the vine. That's what he's speaking of here. This is the cutting down of the vine. It just doesn't give it until over a little farther in Revelation 16 and 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So then, what is it? The casting in of the sickle, the cutting down of the vine, the gathering into the wine press of Almighty God. That's what he's saying. So these people, are they saints? They are saints. What happens to these people? The Bible says, a little farther on over, we read it in Revelation 19, and it tells us exactly what happens to these people. Revelation 19, he goes on to tell us that this is the first resurrection. We're not going to comment on that tonight. We don't have time to do that. But anyway, I just want to read a little something to you concerning it. Revelation 20, it's in Revelation 20. All right, notice this. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now you say, who is that, Brother Pike? Jesus said, when I sit upon my throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. It's evident that now is coming in the millennium, and now is coming in power as to the 12 tribes and the thrones and the 12 apostles. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now who is this? Those where he spoke of thrusting in the sickle. These are they that were killed during that period. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. That means they'll take your head clear off of your body. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Who are the rest of the dead that lives not again? The wicked dead. That's why the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So then that means that the people that are coming forth at that time of the coming of the Lord in Revelation 19, that is for the bride and for the wedding supper. See, that's what Revelation 19 is. It said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You talk about a wedding. You girls get excited when you're going to get married. And you men get excited when you're going to get married. You're talking about a wedding. Now, folks, this is a wedding. You're talking about beauty and radiance and glistening. You're talking about superbness and glory and splendor. You're talking about something that you couldn't even begin to comprehend or even dream of. When you speak of this wedding and the bride of this wedding and the groom of this wedding. So then, for your frivolous things of the world, for your little old nothing out in the world, for the things of the world that are not, you sell your birthright for a morsel of bread. And this great, wonderful event is near at hand. All right, let me just say a few more things and we'll try to close. So then, what is it? We see then that these that are resurrected was those that were spoke of in Revelation 13. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. They rest from their labors. Here is the patience of the saints. So then it's very evident that these that we're speaking of in Revelation 13, these are the saints that's going through the tribulation. They will go through the tribulation period. They will be resurrected in Revelation 20, in Revelation 20 and 4. It does show that they will be resurrected. The rest of the dead will not live again till the 1,000 years is finished. There will be graves in the millennium. There will be an ocean where the dead is buried during the millennium. But then at the coming of the celestial, there will not be any graves. For the graves shall give up their dead, and the sea shall give up the dead that is in it. And as the graves pass away, the sea will pass away. For the Bible said, when the Ancient of Days came, that the sea fled away, and the mountains fled away, and there was found no place for the earth. For the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. At his coming, heaven and earth shall pass away. And the Bible said, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So then it's very evident that there are going to be some people in the tribulation period. Now let me say just a few things before I close. All right, let us differentiate. Are these the same people that we read about in Revelation 7? Or are these different saints? See, the Bible speaks of the church in the wilderness, which was with Israel. Notice that the Bible said these keep the commandments of God, back to the law, and the faith of Jesus Christ, which makes it evident that they've also come to the faith. Speaking of the Jews, but not the Jews only. It said he had power over all nations, all kindred and tongue. It said that that great multitude was taken out of all nations, all kindreds and all tongues. And it is after that great multitude is taken out that he then has power over all nations. He doesn't have power over all nations, kindreds, and tongues as long as we're in the world. He doesn't have any power because I have power over him. And he can't have any power over all nations and kindreds and tongues. But as soon as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said the brimstone came. Are you listening? He said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? He was typical of the church. That's why Paul and the others refer back to him. See, as the brimstone coming. What was said of Lot? Said, go down there and get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Said, I can't do nothing until he gets out of there. See, until the church gets out of here, God can't do nothing to it. We're the salt of the earth. Go down there and get that church out of there, Brother Pike. I can't do nothing until they get out of there. You understand what I'm saying? Preacher, get the church out of there. I'm angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God is burning in a fiery indignation. Get ready, saints of God. You listen to me? All right. So then it's getting close. Ayatollah plowing through Barak. Or what was it? Anyway, through that little old place over there and going straight on into Israel. That's what he says. When you see the armies going around Jerusalem, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. God says, know that the place is going to become barren. People are going to run for their lives. They're going to run to the mountains. The whole city is going to become desolate. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something you see in the movies or on television, you know, and you can laugh off or just, you know, see the rest of it next week. This is the gospel. This is the truth. This is the wrath of God. This is the judgment of God. This is the end of the world. This is the thing that is, thus saith the Lord. It will happen just exactly that way. And you are the ones that's going to lose your head. You're the ones that's going to lose your head. Somebody said, bless God, I ain't going to lose my head. You're the ones that's going to lose your head, the very ones I'm talking to. And all of the world wondered after the beast, except those whose names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those are the only ones that's going to escape. So then, is there a difference between these saints? Why does he have power over all the earth? He obviously did not have power over all the earth, doing Revelation 7. He must not have had, because all of these saints were taken out of there. But now he does. Now he does. Why is it he didn't have it at the first of the week? Because he'd never been cast out into the earth. He'd never been cast out into the earth. Why does he have it at the last of the week? Because now he is a king in the earth. And he has power over all of the earth because he's been cast out of heaven. What does it say? It said, and he made war with them that dwelt in heaven. Did you read that? Look at it. Says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And immediately it said, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And then power over all the nations, kindreds, and tongues, and emphatically states that he made war with them that dwelt in heaven. Remember, past the middle of the week, it's an earth and a heaven battle. The angels are sweeping down in the earth, and the earth is fighting back up there, but it's God speaking of fighting with the angels up there, or is God speaking of the power over all the earth here to make war with the saints, in that the saints of God dwell in heaven? How do you believe the saints of God dwell in heaven? And he had power to make war with them that dwell in heaven. Nobody was able to make war with him. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The scripture says. So all nations surrender unto him because they're not able to make war. So then, is there a rapture? Is there a catching away? I read it to you in Thessalonians. Let's don't misconstrue the thing. Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Is this the first resurrection? How can this be the first resurrection when it says we are caught up? The Lord descends with the shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and we which are alive and remain, not exceeding the dead raised first, and then with them we are caught up to be with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. How can this be the same thing as Revelation 19 in the coming of the Lord on the white horse when we join Him coming back? See, we've got to be caught up before the first of the week and then ride over the tribulation like Noah's ark did, over the flood, over the wrath of God, and then come back on the other side where the millennium or the new world is to be. We have to come back on that side. If we're not caught up, how can we come back? So then we are caught up. That proves there has to be a catching away. There has to be a translation of the church. There has to be a rapture. We are caught up into that. And so then being caught up into that in Revelation 19, after all the problems, then we come back with Him on the white horses to join the Jews and to fight against Antichrist when the sickle is thrust in. Draw them into the valley of Armageddon, fight against them, take the Jews, make the blood run to the horse's bridle, and restore the Jewish kingdom as to the head of the nations, anoint Jesus, put Him on the throne, and start 1,000 years regime with Jesus Himself on this very earth. So then it's evident that He has power over the saints to kill them right here. Now, let's look at it for a minute, folks. I want you to understand this. I'm going to quit in a few minutes. But I want you to understand it. It said it was given, He had power to kill them. To prove that it isn't the same. Look at Thessalonians again. Then we which are alive and remain. Now, can you differentiate? We which are alive. Not dead. It said He overcame these and killed these. And they're resurrected in Revelation 20. That is at the coming of the Lord. These are killed in the latter part of the week. And they are resurrected in Revelation 20. At the coming of Revelation 19, as we say, of the white horse. But it says concerning these people, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It don't say anything about a horse. It says with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain. Somebody said, well, it's very easy to understand, Brother Pike. It means that them dead folks over there, you know, they go right on through the tribulation, and we which don't die during that time, well, we make it. So all us living folks are there. But how is it the Bible said He had power over all the nations, every kindred, and every tongue, and the Bible said that everyone that did not worship the beast was put to death? How did you make it through there? How did you get through there? You understand what I'm saying? See, folks, you can't tie it together. It's different. It's altogether different. It is a different people. It doesn't matter if they do teach that the church will go through the tribulation period, they're wrong. And it is evident that there will be some saints in the tribulation period. But you've got to remember, even if we want to use the terms like this, that the saints in the tribulation period, that the Jews will be saints. That they keep the commandment of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And anybody that keeps the faith of Jesus Christ is a saint. And that those are saints, that they've received the seal, and they've received the faith of Jesus Christ, and that they are saints, even if we want to use it like that. But on the other hand, it said power over all nations and kindreds and tongues. So then who can say who this is? All right. It's evident that we could go on here for a long time as to differentiate, to tell you why that this would be like this, and to make you really want to move up. But nevertheless, I think that you understand that there's going to be some saints in the tribulation period, righteous people in the tribulation period. All right, now if you understood that there is going to be some righteous people in the tribulation period, would you raise your hand? Going to be saints. You believe that? Raise your hand if you believe it's saints. All right. Now, raise your hand if you believe there is a difference between the coming of the Lord in Thessalonians and the coming of the Lord in Revelation 19. If you believe there's a difference, raise your hand. You know, that's evident that some of you don't understand, because you're afraid to raise your hand. If you know, why are you afraid to raise your hand? And if you don't know, how could you not know if he was listening? You know, I was thinking at the first of the service, there's some people that just don't like to come to church. They'll go to the hamburger shop. They'll ride around the hill. They'll stay at home. They've got a boat to turn. They've got a ranch they've lost. They've got something. Their brain, their mind, their lust of the flesh, their desire will stay out of church and keep everybody else out if they can. God help you, folks. You're never going to get anything from God and learn anything like that. See, and people that come to church, from the time they get here, they got their mind on leaving and how long the preacher's going to talk. And I wonder when he's going to quit. And I've done listening. I've tried to be nice. I've looked right straight at him. And ain't listening to nothing. How are you ever going to get out of this world like that? I tell you, in the name of the Lord, I raise my hand to God. This be the truth. If you don't get God's word, you don't go in the translation. There is no way. Absolutely no way. A child that goes to school that is a dropout will never get a diploma. I don't care what you say about the child. He might be the millionaire's son. It might be the president's son. It could be the king's son. But if he is a dropout in school, he isn't going to get a diploma. That's it. How do you understand what I'm saying? And God is the same way. You drop out of this thing, you just cop out, as the world uses the terms. You drop out, you're not going to get anything. God isn't going to let you get anything. You're going to have to be a real man and woman and stay right there with God in your thoughts and in your mind and in your perseverance to stay there with it to get something from God. These men like Paul that give their entire lives to God to get this revelation, and people that are giving their entire life, and people like women that died in the dark age and men that spilt their blood. And do you think that God is going to pick up a wishy-washy, half-hearted people that ain't got enough perseverance to do nothing for God and give them this wonderful thing? I'm telling you, this is where you're going to get in trouble. That's why that there's going to be people going through the tribulation period right there. Somebody said, what about all them people that don't baptize in Jesus' name? Do you think God's going to tolerate it? You know, I say, Brother Taylor, bless God, Brother Taylor, you'll be baptized in Jesus' name. You'll be baptized in Jesus' name. And I say, David Paul, preach to him for the next 10 years. He must be baptized in Jesus' name. And so David does. And I turn around and I say, Brother Mike, son, don't worry about it. Baptism's not important. Who cares about it? One dip, two dips, chocolate, vanilla, somebody said. I've heard preachers say that. One dip or two dips, it's all what you want. Say, don't worry about it, son. I know that you're drawing a lot of folks on television, and I know you've got the crowd, and I ain't just cause you women dress in pants and bob off their hair and paint their lips. Don't worry about it, Brother Mike. Everything's all right. Do you think God is going to be like that? Do you think God is that trashy in his mind? And that double-minded, because that's trash. That's garbage. That's to be thrown out to the garbage man. Do you think God would allow trash like that to be in his mind? That's trash. People running around the ball game and doing all these things in the loop-de-loop up here at Six Flags, and God is going to let them into heaven while they practice this? That's trash, folks. That's garbage. You say, well, you can't prove it. Well, you burn garbage, and the Bible said the world and all their ends are going to be burned. What else could it be? I don't think God would burn anything outside of garbage. A wise man wouldn't burn anything worthwhile. I don't think he would. And I think God's wise enough not to burn anything that's worth something. If people burn in hell, it's because they're garbage. Because I don't think he'd burn anything in hell if it wasn't garbage. You know, if you're going to throw away something for the garbage man, it might be a cheer,
But if it's all broke up and every time you sit down in it, you fall in it, you're going to throw it away. Isn't that right? Same way with the human life. Same way with the human person. God's going to throw it away. It's garbage. It's all broken up. He said, I don't want the halt, lame, and blind. You don't want it for your house. He don't want it for his house. All right. So then what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that we've got to walk right. We've got to talk right. What I say to one, I say to all. If he said be baptized in Jesus' name to one, then he said it to all of us. And the Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. If he expected it for one, he expects it for another. And don't you ever get any idea that you're going before him and God is going to make a special allowance for you after he said something to all of us. He isn't going to do it. Not for me, not for you, not for anybody else. You're going to have holiness or you're going to go to hell. You're going to serve God unto holiness. You're going to have your fruits unto holiness or you're going to go to hell. You're going to do what God said and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and come into the things of God as to faith in his word, or you're going to go to hell. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. I was sent for that purpose. I'm telling you. So, well, I don't believe it. Okay, your business. The Bible said the minister of God is God's revenger, set there to bring judgment upon the people. I'm bringing judgment upon you. When I tell you this, you reject what I say, then the judgments of God be upon you. Paul said, and your blood be upon your own head. And the Bible said he turned to another people, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. So he can bless you, he can curse you, he can remit your sins, he can retain your sins. But I'm just telling you that we've got to understand the Holy Scriptures. We've got to work together. We've got to come to church for a purpose. Stop this foolishness, this lethargy, this unconcern. Get down to business. Stop this half-heartedness. Some of you that run around before church, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you've got to do something else, and you drag somebody else right along with you because you don't want to go to church, you don't have the desire to go to church, and you're trying to figure out how to get somebody to stay outside with you and just mess around and fuddle up everything because you don't have a desire to serve God and be with the saints of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's come to church. Let's get in the church. Let's don't stand outside the church and talk. Let's don't run in and out and half-heartedly hear. Let's listen to the Word of God, okay? I want you to stand with me. I love you and appreciate you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. The Bible said, despising the garment that is stained with sin, pulling them out of the fire. I'm trying to pull you out of the fire. Okay, what was you asking? Revelation what now? Okay, in Revelation 14... All right, it says here that this 144,000 is on the mountain. They're virgins. A man can be a virgin just like a woman be a virgin. They're virgins. It said, and these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are they that were redeemed from among men. And this is the 144,000. He said, and then, after these are up on the mountain, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Okay, we had thought about bringing this out here a day or two ago. I feel like God had Brother Cobb to do this, because this goes right perfectly in line with what we got through telling you about the saints being in the tribulation period. It says here that there is an everlasting gospel and that they will be preaching during the tribulation period. It said, and this angel had the everlasting gospel, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So then, we say, and this angel is going to preach the everlasting gospel to all them that are dwelling on the earth. No, not necessarily. See, as a rule, an angel don't preach. Do you say then this angel isn't going to preach? No, I'm saying this, that it is a big job to preach to every people on the earth as to one angel. That would be a big job. So then, is it something that will be committed to the saints that will be preached during that time. All right, I'll leave it to your own thinking. But I'm telling you this, the gospel will come, God will have it, and it will be preached during the tribulation period. But what kind of gospel is it? Listen, it says, the gospel was saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of waters. Worship Him. Why is He saying this? Because people can still worship God during that time. The worship of God isn't taken away. I wish we had about 2 years to talk about that. But anyway, it says here to worship Him, and I'm not going to get started into something. I just want to point out something. To worship Him, see, saying, fear God, to give glory to Him, for the hour of the judgment has come. It's obvious that the judgment of God is there, but still there's time to worship. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now we're right back down to where we started. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And then it's thrust in the sickle, for he appears on the white cloud. So then, what Brother Clyde is saying here, it brings in the gospel right at the time of the thrusting in the sickle of telling the people to hold to their faith. The Bible said, cast not away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And the Bible said, indeed, we're faithful unto death, and if you be faithful unto death, then you shall receive a crown of life. So then they're holding fast. The angel is telling them now, what is the difference between the everlasting gospel, this gospel, and the gospel that's been preached before? It's quite a bit of difference. One is the gospel of the kingdom. That must be preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. The other is the everlasting gospel. And there's a number of applications that maybe someday we can bring out and tell you our views. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Can you sing it with me again? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven
of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
If anybody needs to come to the altar, the altars are open. Never in too big a hurry to give you a chance to come to the altar. I never will forget, I've mentioned it to you. I preached one morning. Felt like the people were pressing me. I didn't give an altar call. Closed the service. I started out the door. A lady walked up to me and said, "Why did you not give an altar call?" I said, "Well, I feel like nobody wanted to come, you know." She said, "I was waiting for the altar call, to come to the altar to give my heart to God." You know, so I don't get in too big a hurry. Irregardless to how I feel or what you think, and I do pick up people's spirits, they get restless. They pressure you, but you can't run the house of God on that. If you did, the devil would drive you crazy. There'd always be somebody there. So then the time is getting near. It's getting nearer and nearer and nearer. And we must remember that when we're outside, that's the time to do what we want to do. And when we're inside, that's God's time. And let the preacher do what he feels he must do. And the people that love the Lord. So, I appreciate you tonight. I love you. The Lord loves you. And let's sing another chorus together. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's sing that little chorus, "I Love You, Kim."
I love you. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book. Sing it with me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book.
Sing it again.
Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Somebody say hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up with me now and close your eyes. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I'm trusting in the Word divine for every promise in the book is mine. 32,000 promises, it has been said. And the Bible said God has given us exceeding great and mighty promises. Think about that. Have you ever considered that? You know, if I come up to one of you and I say, look, I got a promise. I'm going to give you an exceeding great and mighty promise. So what's this going to be? I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life. You'll never have to work again. That's a pretty great promise right there. See, the Bible says that He hath given unto you and I all things that pertain unto life and given us great and mighty promises. I want to enjoy them promises, don't you? I want to find out what they are. Promises of power, promises of glory, promises of eternal life, promises so great and mighty, promises He has given to you and I. God has given it to us. I don't believe He'd lie to us, do you? I don't believe He'd have made those promises, Brother Osborne, if He hadn't meant them. I don't believe He'd lie to us. If He gave us those great, mighty promises, it's because He wanted us to have them. And I feel like that it's because He wanted us to be saved. The Bible said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. I'm glad to see you here. Let me say this right quick while you've got your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad to see the different ones come in and out. Even the young fellas get under conviction and come to the altar. Maybe they don't go and serve God, but who knows? Something got in their heart and maybe they'll come back later. You can't ever tell. See, you can't ever tell. Glad to see you here. See Chacha over there tonight. We're glad to see you here trying to get in touch with God. Asking God to save you. You need to, folks. Have you understand what I'm saying? See, God, He loves you. But don't mock God. It's like my Gracie was telling me. Some fella come out the other night. He come to the altar. Young man, about 20 years old. Then he left and went off and he wanted to come back. I believe it was the next service night. Somebody went by to get him. And one of our neighbors, right across the street, a young fellow, he was in there, and he hollered out, better go on with him. You don't want to be cut off. 5 nights from that night, I believe it was thereabout, 5 or 6 nights, he was standing up here, that is, during the daytime. He was standing up here, it might have been at night, I don't know. But he was standing up here at the pool room. And all of a sudden he had a seizure. As far as I know, he's never had seizures before. I've never heard of it. But he had seizures and he swallowed his tongue. Somebody run their finger in his mouth and almost got it bit off. Pulled his tongue back to keep him from choking to death. The siren screamed. They come and took him to the hospital. The same one that was so smart with his tongue, he swallowed his tongue. And when somebody communicated with him at the hospital, he said, when I get out of here, I'm coming to church. The Bible said the unruly tongue shall be rooted out. You can't be smart with your tongue, folks. You can't make jokes out of God. You can't say things about the minister. There's a person sitting in here tonight, as far as I know, made a real smart remark about Brother Pike. Real smart remark. Because Brother Pike didn't go along with the corruption of their life and the thing that they did. But I warn you in the name of the Lord, you don't make remarks about the minister of God and about God and not pay for it. I could care less, as the world says. What difference does it make when you say good things or bad things? I eat just as good. I ride where I want to. I go where I want to when I get ready. Your words don't mean nothing to me. That's just the garbage in your mouth, not in mine. But it's my job to warn you. for the good of your soul and to let you know that God won't listen to those kind of things. You'll have a dead baby in your arm before you know it. You'll be in some kind of tragedy. Something bad will happen to you. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't go around saying things about God, about Little Bethlehem, about churches, about people of God, about people that love Jesus. You can't do that. Even if they're the least one of them, you can't do that. See, don't have a backbiting tongue. God will root it out. All right. While you're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask David Paul to come and pray with you tonight. And I want him to pray for your body as to the healing of your body. I want him to pray for you that God will save your soul. I want him to pray that God will get into your life and heart and cause you to have a hunger and thirst to come to the house of God and to rebuke anybody that tries to keep you from it. Reprove them. The Bible said reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have no fellowship with them. See, reprove them and tell them how wrong they are. And you come onto the house of God. And I want him to pray that God will cause you to get into your position and do something for the Lord Jesus Christ here at Bethlehem and wherever we're trying to do something for God.